This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
The droids are clean, the vaporizers are patched, and the speeders fume. It's time to pick up some blue milk and power converters. You're listening to Toshi Station Radio, brought to you by the Majestic Giraffe Network. Now here are your hosts for the Snarkiest Podcast in Star Wars and Geek Culture, Brian and Nancy.
From the outskirts of Anchorhead and on the shores of the Great Chott Flats, you're listening to Toshi Station Radio, the bright center in the universe for all things Star Wars and geek culture. I'm your host, Brian, and with me, as always, is my co-host and wife, Nancy.
Hi!
On today's episode, San Diego Comic-Con. Big news! Get excited! We're about to get started, so sit back, grab some power converters, and enjoy the show. And thank you for joining us for breakfast today.
Yay!
Normally we record on Thursday or Friday nights, but we held off a little bit this week because, well, big news.
They were doing a Comic-Con panel on Friday night, so we decided we should wait until that was over before we podcasted, so we'd actually have stuff to talk about.
Otherwise, we'd wind up having to do two episodes in 1 week.
Yeah, because the sad thing is there is a lot of stuff to talk about besides The Force Awakens.
Before San Diego Comic Con, we actually had plenty to talk about before all the craziness yesterday happened.
Yeah.
But before we go too much further, a note from our sponsors. Toshi Station Radio is brought to you in part by Audible.com. Listeners to this podcast can get a free audiobook by signing up for a free trial. Click the link on Toshi-Station.net for more details.
And we're also brought to you in part by Her Universe. Flaunt your world with Star Wars, Star Trek, Marvel, Transformers, Doctor Who, and other fandom-inspired wardrobe and jewelry. Click the link on our blog to purchase awesome geek gear and keep the lights running on the podcast. And the Her Universe had their fashion show at San Diego Comic Con.
And there were some neat stuff shown off there.
Yes, there was. And two new winners. I believe that Jonna Marie from the Wookie Gunner has a gallery or article about all of the fashion show. So definitely go look. Ashley wore a really cool Leia dress. It was pretty cool.
It was.
But not the coolest thing we saw this week.
No, we're going to be saying that a lot. Okay, new on the blog. What's new on the blog that no one cares about right now?
Well, I'll go through this really fast. Bria reviewed Lando number 1, which was the new miniseries out this week, Darth Vader number 7, and Princess Leia number 5, which was the final issue of that miniseries. We have a go-no-go for Dark Disciple and a full review from Bria. Bria also wrote about the dichotomy of Revan. I did a go-no-go for Imperial Justice, which was the new Servants of the Empire book by Jason Fry out this week. We posted our live commentary of The Phantom Menace. Later this month, we'll be doing Attack of the Clones. And finally, I explained why science fiction must err on the side of diversity.
Wow, that was a lot of stuff.
It was a lot of stuff. And normally we'd spend a lot more time talking about it.
We've got so much other stuff we have to get to. Quick note, though, our Phantom Menace live commentary is available in the iTunes feed. How it works is just grab your copy of the digital edition or the Blu-ray. And when we tell you to hit play, you hit play. And you get us doing an MST3K style commentary on it, but we're nicer.
Yes, we are, because we like the movie.
Yes, we actually do like these movies. So, yeah, it's just a commentary track. You can listen to our thoughts on it. We had Bria and Saf on the show for that one. We're coordinating when to do the next one. It'll be a little later this month. We'll be doing Attack of the Clones.
Yes, and I'm really looking forward to that, because that's a really good movie to comment on.
Yeah, we'll leave it at that. okay, Fixers Flash, the geeky things we've been up to. Nancy?
Well, besides freaking out about Star Wars, I actually read a lot. I haven't really read a lot at all this year, and then all of a sudden I read a bunch of books. I finished Dark Disciple. I read Yours All Along by Ronnie Lauren, which is definitely not a Star Wars-related book.
No!
It's a dirty book. Not dirty. Yeah. It's fun. I also read Cruel Beauty by Rosamund Hodge, which is a YA retelling of Beauty and the Beast. And I'm currently reading Lie Smith by Alice Franklin, which is a urban fantasy kind of romance, paranormal romance almost. But this is what happens when books are cheap. I buy them all and then I'm like, oh, I should read them. And so I've been reading a bunch of them. And speaking of books, I'm almost done writing mine.
How much do you have left?
3.5 chapters.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I would have written more last night, but I got distracted by
what?
Star Wars.
No.
I know. Star Wars is inspiring.
It is inspiring.
It's also distracting.
It's exceedingly distracting. As for me, I've been in a soccer spiral lately, so I haven't been doing a whole lot other than watching soccer.
This is not related to Star Wars, but go U.S. Women's National Team!
Yes, go U.S. Women's National Team. Well done. Won the Women's World Cup. Excellent.
Yes.
Okay. Let's get to the first big chunk of the podcast.
Can I just make a comment before we get to... this is related to the whole San Diego Comic-Con thing, but the apparently the Comic-Con reel already has over 1 million views.
I don't know.
And it was posted last night.
I don't know if the Star Wars thing is has any... It's gonna work.
I don't think so.
I mean, is there really interest? I can't tell.
We got some news about Star Wars.
Yes, we can talk about that. Deke's Dirt news from around fandom, and oh boy, wow, we got some big stuff here. There's actually something not on the list we should talk about.
There is?
Yes, our good friend.
Oh, right. Yes. So, our friend Janine Spendlove, who we've had on the blog on the podcast before, she wrote the War of the Seasons fantasy novels. She will be writing a tie-in to the Battlefront novel that's out in November. She'll be writing a short story for the Star Wars Insider, and that's very fitting because Janine is in the Marines, so I think she knows a little bit about the military, and probably do a good job.
And you and I were at a writing workshop in which she was talking about the art of writing action from a military perspective, and boy, does she get it.
Yeah, it was a panel with her and Timothy Zahn about writing. It was called, I think, Them's Fightin' Words or something like that, but it was basically how to write action and, you know, action sequences and stuff. And he talked more about close fighting, and then there was also talk about sword fighting, and then Janine did an overview of like tactics and strategy and how there's like three levels that are involved in making all these things happen,
and then how to take all of that and translate it into prose.
Yeah, so she definitely knows what she's talking about, and it's really cool to see her getting to write Star Wars. I know it's a dream come true for her, and it's really cool when people in fandom get those opportunities. So,
and moving on to more literature news, yesterday before the big Hall H panel was the Star Wars publishing panel featuring Marvel, Del Rey, and Disney Publishing.
Yes,
and it started off with some YA stuff, but let's get the big news out of the way first.
Yeah.
Chuck Wendig. We like Chuck Wendig.
Buick Winnebago.
Chuck Wendig, in addition to Aftermath, it's now confirmed he's got the other two books in the trilogy.
Yes.
And this is the first time in a really long time that one author has been given a whole series.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited.
Yeah. It's going to be really cool to have one person actually telling the story and having the same tone throughout. We haven't had that in the post Return of the Jedi era since, I think, Dark Nest. We had some prior to, you know, that take place earlier in the timeline.
Like the Coruscant Knights?
Coruscant Knights, Imperial Commando, Republic Commando.
But it's been an awful
long... Darth Bane books, you know, but
it's
post Return of the Jedi,
it
hasn't been since Dark Nest.
And that was really a one-off. It really had apart from that, there really hasn't been anything since Bantam had the contract.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm very, very excited for that.
Yeah.
And I'm even more excited after reading the Aftermath synopsis.
Yes. Well, first of all, we don't know what the second and third books are called and when they'll be out.
We just know that Chuck's writing all of them.
But so Wednesday night, before Comic-Con even started, I think that was preview night, actually, they StarWars.com released a article about the Journey to the Force Awakens publishing. And the first thing I quickly scrolled down because I saw Aftermath and I'm like, will they give us a blurb? And they did. And there was two words in the blurb that made me start jumping up and down and squealing, and they were Wedge Antilles. Anyone who listens to our podcast, reads our blog, knows that we love X-Wing, we love Rogue Squadron, we love Wedge Antilles. There had been speculation that he was the fan favorite character, and he is. And let's just read the synopsis and talk about how awesome it is. As the Empire reels from its critical defeats at the Battle of Endor, the Rebel Alliance, now a fledgling New Republic. Let's let that sink in for a minute. The New Republic is what it's called. It is canon. Presses its advantage by hunting down the enemy's scattered forces before they can regroup and retaliate. But above the remote planet Akiva, an ominous show of the enemy's strength is unfolding. Out on a lone reconnaissance mission, pilot Wedge Antilles, awesome person, watches Imperial Star Destroyers gather like birds of prey circling for a kill, but is taken captive before he can report back to the New Republic leaders. Meanwhile, on the planet's surface, former Rebel fighter Nora Wexley has returned to her native world, war-weary, ready to unite with her estranged son, and eager to build a new life in some distant place. But when Nora intercepts Wedge Antilles' urgent distress call, she realizes her time as a freedom fighter is not over yet. What she doesn't know is just how close the enemy is or how decisive and dangerous her new mission will be. Determined to preserve the Empire's power, the surviving Imperial elite are converging on Akiva for a top-secret emergency summit to consolidate their forces and rally for a counterstrike. But they have reckoned they haven't reckoned on Nora and her newfound allies, her technical genius son, a Zabrak bounty hunter, and a reprobate Imperial defector who are prepared to do whatever they must end. Whatever they must to end the Empire's oppressive reign once and for all.
Yes. I'm so excited.
I know. A reprobate Imperial defector. It can't be Tycho because it's too late. But I really want at least to have a mention of Tycho in this book. Please, God. Just his name. Or the Alderaanian dude that Wedge is friends with. That's all I need.
Yep. I just need that. Okay, so Wedge Antilles is the damsel in distress being saved by an awesome new female character.
Uh-huh.
I like this
I
so
know.
Much.
Me too. Can someone please do fan art?
I mean, if we're going to bring anything back from Legends, let's have Wedge in a dress be one of them.
I hate you, Commander.
You lied to me.
We also got covers for all of the YA books.
Phil Noto covers!
Phil Noto did the covers for the Big Three books, which are pretty awesome.
They're amazing. I want them as prints.
Yeah, they're really cool. And there's also a synopsis for Lost Stars, which is the sort of romance novel, you know, a lot of people have been calling it, but it actually sounds really interesting.
I am now really glad I got that one in the staff draw for reviews.
Yeah. The reign of the Galactic Empire has reached the outer ring planet of Jalukan, where aristocratic Thane Kyrell and rural villager Sienna Ree bond over their love of flying. Enrolling at the Imperial Academy together to become fighter pilots for the glorious Empire is nothing less than a dream come true for the both of them. This sounds familiar. I may have written this. But Thane sours on the dream when he sees firsthand the horrific tactics the Empire uses to maintain its ironclad rule. Bitter and disillusioned, Thane joins the fledgling rebellion, putting Sienna in an unbearable position to choose between her loyalty to the Empire and her love for the man she's known since childhood. Now on opposite sides of the war, will these friends turn foes, find a way to be together, or will duty tear them and the galaxy apart? It's very Romeo and Juliet-ish. I actually like it.
I do too. I'm really excited to read this one.
And also, people have speculated that the cover looks like a Star Destroyer, like
plunging
going
into a planet.
Yeah, and so people have been speculating that the Battle of Jakku will be in this book, or at least be alluded to. Will be the ending of this book. So,
because everything has to tie together.
Yeah, of course.
We've also got a Chewbacca miniseries coming from Marvel.
Yeah, so after the Lando miniseries, we will be, there will have a Chewbacca miniseries, and it'll be interesting to see how all the characters they go through in these miniseries. I'd be good for a Wedge one.
Yes, please.
Also, there will be another announcement coming from Marvel's Cup of Joe panel,
and
I believe it's at 2:45, but I don't know if that's...
I think that's Eastern, 2:45 Eastern.
Okay.
Interesting that they held off this announcement until after the Hall H panel.
Yeah, I don't know if it has anything to do with Force Awakens, or if it's just they were like, okay, Marvel, you can have something for your panel.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out today, but I'm very interested to find out. Yeah.
So, yes, exciting there, and we're not done. We've got some big Hasbro news.
Yes. So if you're into action figures...
And let me just say, we're going to talk about Hasbro and not be mad at them.
Yes.
Which is unusual if you've listened to us before.
Yeah.
Yesterday was, in addition to the publishing panel and the Big Hall H panel, was a Hasbro news panel. And the first thing they did was announce, really, the fan winners.
Yeah. So,
and there are two of them.
Mm-hmm. So if you wanted, Revan won, as everyone figured, because he was leading the poll, or she, excuse me, because in our mind, Revan is a girl, but...
I mean, Revan being male is legends now.
So. It is, but so if you wanted a Sabine action figure, good news, there will also be a Sabine action figure, so she'll get a six inches as well.
With Dave Filoni apparently personally overseeing and contributing to the design of the figure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's very cool.
Yeah.
And there are also some new Black Series figures, and I kind of want two of these. One is Jango Fett. I'm sure no one's surprised there. The other is Tatooine Luke.
Yes.
I think Nancy's going to want this one.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe, maybe.
Maybe. He looks pretty.
And a Kanan Black series as well.
Yeah, which looks really, really cool. I hope they do all of the Ghost crew in this way, because they all deserve the live action treatment.
# where's Hera? What? And the packaging is going to be unique to each character. Mm-hmm. They're changing the packaging up a little bit for these figures, and there will be a special art and descriptions for each character on the packaging now. There's also going to be a regular size Season 2 Inquisitor coming. And this is the male-looking alien Inquisitor in particular.
Yeah.
And the last thing they showed, and the panel ended kind of abruptly, which shows you... It shows you the kind of lockdown Disney has things on when Hasbro won't show anything off. A Force Awakens 6-inch TIE pilot and a 26-inch TIE fighter. The TIE fighter retailing at $169.99.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I just want the figure.
I'd really like them to bring the action fleet size toys back.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can do that with The Force Awakens, I'd be very happy. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
So that's the Hasbro news. A lot of really interesting stuff there. I'm going to need the bulk of those Black Series figures.
Yeah.
Okay, over to Big's Bullshite Star Wars film news. We actually have something.
Yes.
First... The second anthology film is, as many suspected, a Han Solo film.
Yay!
Second. They've replaced Josh Trank on it. It's now going to be Christopher Miller and Phil Lord of 21 Jump Street and the Lego Movie fame.
Well, according to the post on StarWars.com, the Trank movie was something different.
Oh, was it?
I think that's what they had said, and that this movie was kind of pushed forward.
Okay.
So, different. So it's a different thing altogether.
Okay. So yeah, Miller and Lord. I've always been ambivalent to the idea of a young Han Solo movie, which this is going to be. But if you get Miller and Lord involved in a movie, I could derive some enjoyment out of a Boba Fett film. That's how good they are.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
But, I mean, if anyone's going to make the Robot Chicken Boba Fett and Han Solo sketches a movie, it'd be Miller and Lord. Yeah, that was what we thought was going to be the big news this week. The standalone film has a director and a subject. But then San Diego Comic-Con happened, and now we go to Cammy's Concerns.
I know, right? We're going to be talking about Force Awakens, and it's pretty awesome. So the Force Awakens panel was last night, 8:30 p.m. for us East Coasters. So basically our night was watching Twitter, reading live blogs, hoping people posted pictures, cursing why San Diego Comic-Con doesn't live stream. So we posted a post this morning with a bunch of links to like live blogs and analyses and pictures and all this stuff. But so basically, should we just run through the panel?
I think we need to run through the panel, yeah.
All right. Okay. So panel started out with Chris Hardwick introducing J.J. Abrams, Kathleen Kennedy, and Lawrence Kasdan. This was Lawrence Kasdan's first time, I believe, at Comic-Con or, you know, fan conventions in general. He wasn't at Celebration. And they talked a lot about making the movie, you know, what it was like as far as J.J. Abrams being a Star Wars fan and getting the call to make Star Wars, you know, what they're trying to do with the movie. They asked them what process they're at right now, and J.J. said they have a cut of the movie. They're currently editing and tinkering, and he expressed a lot of gratitude for Disney that they let them push the release date back and gave them the time to fix everything to make it be the way they wanted to, which, I mean, it makes you happy to hear that as a viewer as well, because, you know, we want the movie to be good. We don't want them to rush and just push it out. They talked a lot about, you know, practical effects, as they've been, you know, harping on that a lot. And then they brought out one of the creatures who is actually in the Force for Change video. And his name is Baba Joe. According to Pablo Hidalgo, the spelling is B-O-B-B-A-J-O, one word. And he was that sort of creature vendor dude that came up behind JJ, and he was actually there. The entire huge puppet came walking out on stage.
Actually there, this huge practical effects creature apparently being controlled by five operators.
Yeah.
I'm assuming with RC handsets somewhere in the background. But yeah, it was a practical creature, and it was so awesome to see.
Yeah, it was.
And then after that, they brought out Oscar Isaac, Daisy Ridley, and John Boyega, who all of them had been cruising the floor at San Diego Comic-Con earlier in the day. So they came out to talk a little more about what it was like to be on set, what it's like to work with these legendary actors and characters, and you can tell that all three of them just are blown away and are loving every bit of this.
I know. I love them. They're so adorable. But so they didn't really talk any more about their characters than what we already knew. So unfortunately, we didn't get anything like, you know, last names or they're related to people, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, they talked about, you know, what it what they thought to make the movie and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, John Boyega is just so adorable. You can tell he loves Star Wars. And so Daisy Ridley apparently did a lot of training for this movie. You know, worked on her action, did a lot of training for action sequences. And she said she hoped her dress showed off her guns because she did a lot of training. So that's very cool. I hope we see her doing awesome things. And what we've seen behind the scenes, I'm pretty sure we will. Oscar Isaac talked more about, you know, flying and how Harrison Ford told him it was fake.
It's space.
Yep. So yeah, we didn't really learn a lot new about them, but it was very cool to see them all there together. And, you know,
if the press junket is just those three just riffing off each other, I will be very happy.
Yeah. And then they decided that, well, one of the things they also talked about during the panel was someone asked about, you know, diversity, and they specifically asked if they were going to cast any Asian actors. And J.J. Abrams gave a really great response about how they wanted the movie to look like the world looks, and how they weren't looking for a specific race when they cast these roles, which A is interesting because I don't know if I believe him because of rumors about who Rey is related to, or just not even rumors, just speculation. You know, everyone wonders she's Han and Leia's kid, if she's Luke's kid, you know, whatever. So I don't know if I buy that particularly. However, I do appreciate that they are actually, you know, committed to having a lot of diversity and having female characters. And I believe Kathleen Kennedy mentioned that again. And, you know, we'll talk about it later, but there was shots in the behind the scenes video of lady pilots, and it almost made me cry because we've only seen that once.
Yeah, and Abrams also said that it is so very important to see yourself represented on screen.
Yeah, he just said that
out of his way to say that.
And we say that all the time. That's mm-hmm. what we harp on all the time. It's not that, you know, oh, we need a quota of characters who look like this and characters who look like this. It's because so a little kid who's watching Star Wars can look up and see themselves in a movie. And yeah, you can relate to people who don't look like you. I mean, we talk about that all the time as far as guys, you know, why can't guys relate to female characters? But it does mean a lot when you see that, you know.
They clearly understand this.
They do. I mean, they want the movie to look real in all ways. You know, you can't have a movie that harps on having real effects and all your characters are white males.
So, yeah, you can you can take your "but it's fiction, it doesn't matter" arguments and just shove it, because it is important to have this space opera universe reflect reality.
Yeah.
In terms of demographics and representation.
Yeah.
I mean, and not just because of that, but because this really is the modern mythos.
Yeah.
And you want this modern myth to resonate with as many people as possible.
Yeah.
So that's why the representation is so important. And clearly, J.J. Abrams gets it, and Kathleen Kennedy really gets it.
Yes, she
does. I mean, can we talk for a second about how every time Kathleen Kennedy talks about Star Wars, I become more and more and more convinced that perhaps George Lucas's greatest decision mm-hmm. was handing the franchise and the company to Kathleen Kennedy.
I know a lot of people would probably want to have my head for saying this. I think she might be a better steward of it than George himself, because, and not that it's taking anything away from George, you know, obviously he created Star Wars, you know, we owe him everything, but he, you know, you get to a point where it's like, you're not able, when they tell authors that you're not supposed to be able to edit your own work, you know what I mean? Because you get so attached to it, it's hard to step back. And, like, Kathleen Kennedy, you know, has known Star Wars for, you know, as long as we have, you know, I'm assuming, you know, she was a fan and saw the movies and everything, but she has a, she's able to step back and she has a disconnect and she can see, you know, this is what it means as a creator. This is what it means as a fan. And she's trying to bridge that, make the best movie for,
and
but also pay attention. I'm not saying that George wouldn't do that, but I mean, he wanted to move on. He wanted to retire. Having him stick around and force him to make these movies he didn't want to make would not have been a good idea for anyone.
And it's important to note that Kathleen Kennedy is such a respected figure in Hollywood. She has so much experience and filters on the whole cinema landscape.
Yeah.
That she brings this very unique perspective that I'm not sure Lucasfilm has ever really had before. And the company, and I think the films are going to be better for it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think she just gets it. And JJ gets it too. And
I mean, it's hard to put into words other than saying they get it.
Yeah.
And in watching the live tweets of the panel yesterday and watching the video recap today, you just feel like
they get it.
That it's in good hands.
Yes.
It's in as good a hands as it's ever been.
It's like Allstate.
Allstate, you're in good hands. Okay, we have to talk about the behind-the-scenes video.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, my God. The first two teasers got mm-hmm. me emotional. This made me cry.
Well, the second teaser made me cry. This one, I don't know if this made me cry, but it was...
Oh, it hit all of the right emotional buttons.
It did. It did so much. I'm going to mute it, but play it on my computer just so I can talk about it. So it just starts off them talking about, you know, practical effects and, you know, we skipped. Wait, did they show the behind the scenes video first or did they bring out the other guys?
I think they showed this.
Okay.
First,
I'll move it around then.
Yeah. They showed this first mm-hmm. and then,
okay. I moved stuff around. We're good to go.
Or did they?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. I really want to talk about this video, so we'll come back to the other
video
others later.
Okay. So they start off showing, you know, behind the scenes footage of, you know, them of sets with the clipboard. We see the desert. We see the Falcon, which is still amazing to see. We see some sort of corridor. R2. Stormtroopers, people from Maz Kanata's pirate castle, and then this amazing shot of a TIE fighter crash in the desert. It's beautiful.
And they showed it from concept art
yeah.
to model to actual yeah. freaking TIE yeah. fighter in the desert.
It's like that's the most beautiful screen shot of that TIE fighter in the desert. It's amazing. And I'm thinking it's TIE fighter that we saw in the teaser, in the second
the one
teaser.
Blowing up the hangar.
Either that or the one that's chasing the Falcon. I couldn't really tell which one. But it's black. It's got red, red on the side. It's definitely important. I'm excited to see who it actually belongs to. But, yeah, dear God, it's beautiful. And they show concept art, the Falcon, more shots of the Falcon. They show a creature moving with prosthetics. Some people have speculated that might be Maz Kanata, but I no clue.
Isn't Maz Kanata a mocap, though?
Yes, that's true. So, maybe just like a mock-up?
Maybe.
If they do like yeah. mock-ups beforehand. But yeah, then there's shot of the BB-8 on the Falcon. We love him. And then Mark Hamill did a voice, you know, was doing narration about the practical effects, and they show him not in costume, unfortunately, but talking. And can I just say I want them to have Mark Hamill narrate all of the behind the scenes stuff because he's awesome.
Yes.
And there's such a really cool shot of like the crew standing around getting ready to shoot, and like they pan from behind the scenes to actually on the set, and it's a stormtrooper marching Poe Dameron down a corridor. It looks like they're Imperial something. And Poe is wearing a jacket that has been worn by Finn previously. We saw Finn wearing it in the teaser. We saw him wearing it in the concept art. So this leads me to believe maybe that's Finn walking with him. Maybe it's like doing a whole like Death Star Chewy prisoner thing. And especially what we know about Poe Dameron, he's kind of cocky and brash. It seems like something he would do. So I want to know. I'm very concerned because if Poe Dameron is captured, I need to know. I'm so concerned about him and I don't know anything about him yet.
At least you know he's got a contract for 3 films.
I know, but still. So I want to know, like, are they pretending? Is this near the end of the movie? Is this near the beginning of the movie? And let me say, first of all, that we're speculating because we don't know anything. So if you like are a rumor monger and are like, oh, well, this is what we know. No, we don't know because it's a rumor, not real, not actual official news. So please don't tell me that, oh, yeah, this is it, because I don't know. And I will hate you forever if you spoil me.
Yep.
So, yeah. And if I wanted to know, I'd just go look it up myself.
Yes.
So then they show Lupita Nyong'o mo-capped. And so we haven't seen her at all talking about Star Wars. Her or Andy Serkis or Max von Sydow.
They're really
like the next 3 characters they need to bring out.
Is there another...
New York Comic Con.
Either D23 or New York Comic Con.
Yeah. So they have, and they show 3PO getting suited up. 3PO's got a black arm. Kind of cool. And they have more shooting in the desert. Looks like there's Kathleen Kennedy talking. They're going through under like some sort of archway. This is probably maybe the junkyard. They've got, you know, them talking. J.J. Abrams is saying this is the first day of shooting. We've got Rey and Finn running towards an explosion. Then there's a shot of a person running around an X-Wing fighter at night. I'm thinking it's Poe Dameron because it's an X-Wing fighter. And oh my god, an X-Wing fighter. I know they're in the movie because I've seen them. But
I still get excited every time.
I know. Then there's a really cool shot of Kylo Ren walking down the ramp of a shuttle with stormtroopers flanking it. He looks very menacing as he is. Some flame troopers burning things. Simon Pegg apparently is an extra. He was talking about it. Chewbacca. They're talking about the making Chewbacca and how everyone wants to hug him. And there's a shot of Peter Mayhew in the Chewbacca costume. And he makes a little Wookiee noise. There's a whole bunch of creatures that they show. Someone painting an X-Wing helmet. Brian, someone painting an X-Wing helmet.
I was so excited to see that.
You were. And they've got... they show a whole bunch of people in their creature costumes. Simon Pegg being one of them. They show someone in like...
It looks like a gonk droid.
Yeah, it looks like a gonk droid. There's another creature with some red mask that I think we saw in the Vanity Fair photo of Maz Kanata's pirate castle. It looks really creepy. People working on building X-Wings and the Millennium Falcon... And these people have the best job. Shots of stormtroopers. People racing through corridors in costumes I don't think we've seen before. Finn talking in the Falcon, also wearing that jacket, which I want. Daisy Ridley climbing up to... it looks like the gunnery turret. It looks like she's in the Falcon's gunnery turret.
Mm-hmm.
And they're filming her in there, which, oh my, Yes. Can we talk about how much I want that?
Holy crap.
Yeah.
They had this shot of an RC-controlled gunnery rig.
Yeah.
Daisy Ridley's in it. And, it was amazing. Yeah.
I can't tell if it's the cockpit or the gunnery rig.
It was moving really, it was moving like the gunnery turret did.
That's what I think. And not so she's the only person in it. Yeah, that's so cool. A bunch of stormtroopers running through rocks and rubble and explosions. And then there's a shot of the Falcon with a bunch of what looks to be resistance crew members, pilots, you know, officers, whatever. I think this is probably what the Greenham Commons footage, you know, the set where, you know, they had all the drones leak stuff, which I didn't look at, and I'm glad. And there are lady pilots. There are lady pilots, and this is why I really, really, really want this to be Rogue Squadron, because then there'll be canon lady rogues, and I might have to make a X-Wing costume if that's the case.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Because, like, I mean, we had them in books, and we've, you know, we had a lady pilot in Phantom Menace, but it's not the same as actually in the movie. And that shot is so freaking beautiful. It's amazing. I love it. It's gorgeous. And more shots of R2, 3PO and R2 in what looks to be some sort of base. It looks Imperial, and I'm very worried for them if this is the case. Donald Gleason in a set that looks also vaguely Imperial, which makes sense given what we know about him. Daisy Ridley and Finn in the desert. J.J. Abrams and Lawrence Kasdan working on the script. A shot of a Mon Cal. A shot of a Celestin, which looks like Nian Nub. And then there is a shot of a clapboard in front of our queen, Princess Leia, who looks freaking amazing. And I'm so glad I didn't look at those leaked photos, because the leaked photos were not good. Like, I looked at them last night because I wanted to see what the rest of her costume looked like, to see if I can make it. But, like, she just looks so badass. She's like, I'm sick of your shit. I'm taking over and telling you what to do. And she's talking to someone, and I can't tell who it is. I'm wondering if it's Poe Dameron. But you can't really tell. Then there's a shot of Oscar Isaac talking to the camera. There's a shot of stormtroopers. There's Warwick Davis in street clothes talking to some weird fuzzy alien dude. And then Carrie Fisher grabbing J.J. Abrams' cheeks.
Aww.
And then Daisy Ridley talking on a Falcon. J.J. and Kathleen Kennedy looking at the camera. Anthony Daniels on the Falcon set just looking around like he's in complete and utter awe. A really awesome shot of Harrison as Han looking distressed. And then a shot of the Falcon from behind with Harrison, Daisy Ridley in the two front seats, Finn in the back, John Boyega, and the crew looking at them through the viewport, and J.J. Abrams just standing there, you know, talking to them.
And then we all started crying.
Yeah, because holy crap, they're in the Falcon. And I mean, we saw it in the Vanity Fair shot, but to actually, like, see them in there and, like, this is all so amazing. I didn't even care we didn't get to see a shot of Luke. I mean, I kind of did because I just said that. But, you know.
It was so perfect.
I know. And I was so mad because they were talking about it on the live blog or on, like, all the live blogs and people tweeting. And I'm like, why can't I see this? And then they put it up right after our panel. And I was like, thank you, StarWars.com team.
Thank you, Matt and the StarWars.com team. Matt and Andy.
Dan Brooks.
You all are awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
Just wow. Mm-hmm. And if there was any doubt, Leia was definitely the one getting the lightsaber in the last teaser.
Yes, because we saw her costume. She has a huge ring on her finger. She gets a lightsaber, which means Luke is the one who is with R2, because if you, you know, match up the voiceover, my father has it, I have it, my sister has it.
But no, it's Boba Fett, right?
Boba Fett. Yeah.
I'm going to watch this behind the scenes video at least 5 dozen more times before Monday.
Yeah, I know. Can we just put it on repeat and like on the Chromecast?
I've never been so happy I own a Chromecast as I am now, just being able to cast YouTube videos.
And then we woke up this morning and I saw they posted the whole panel on YouTube and I was like, all right, well, we got to push the podcast back because we got to watch this.
Yep, we pushed the podcast back a half hour so we could watch the video before coming on to record and so
research
even more. Yes, research.
We needed to be informed for all of you people.
we do this for you, listeners. Mm-hmm. We watch amazing Star Wars videos just mm-hmm. for you.
Yeah.
Okay. There were three other new actors who came out to the panel. Adam Driver, Donald Gleason, and Gwendolyn Christie, and we got some information.
Yes.
We now know who Donald Gleason's playing. It is General Hux.
Yes.
General Hux.
Hux. Yes.
H-U-X.
Yeah.
Continuing our long tradition of silly Star Wars names.
Hux isn't that bad.
Well, there is worse. There is worse. And they all talked a little bit about their characters and...
Not a lot.
A little bit. I really mean a little bit. Donald Gleason let something slip that maybe he shouldn't have.
Yeah, that he's the commander of Starkiller Base. And before all you people go, oh my god, Starkiller is canon! The reason they named it Starkiller Base was, as J.J. Abrams said during the panel, after the original name of Luke Skywalker in the drafts of A New Hope.
So it was just a throwback to the first draft.
Just a throwback, not a throwback to...
The
Sam
Force
Whitworth
Awakens,
character.
Which is still not canon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's a lot of things I want to be canon that aren't, so
yeah,
I'm not
so
being
they,
snarky.
They really didn't talk much about what their characters were doing, because they've got that under even bigger wraps than Poe, Rey, and Finn. Gwendolyn Christie talked a little bit about what it's like to play a stormtrooper.
Yeah, she said it was really awesome, like, being behind all that armor. And, you know, she loved that there was a woman behind the armor and that it's more relevant than ever, which makes me really, really happy. And Adam Driver talked a little bit about what, you know, he was like... They asked him, are you evil, you know, and what do you think about your character? And he kind of gave a little, you know, didn't really answer straight and like how, you know.
You can tell that they all still have the fear of God in them.
Well, it's also like, you know, he was saying, you know, it's not necessarily good or evil, you know.
It's perception of right.
Yeah. And so, which, I mean, it's good to hear because, you know, evil people don't think that they're evil, you know. And this is something you focus on when you are writing antagonists, that they all think they're doing the right thing. They're just, you know, no one, as Aaron Alston has said this numerous times, no one is the villain of their story. Whereas Donald Gleason is like, well, I'm British, so I must be evil, so I'm definitely evil. And it'll be very weird. Like, we saw a picture of him in his uniform. It's very...
Very imperial.
Very imperial, very aristocratic. He's very young to be a general. Like, really. Like, Donald Gleason is only in his early 30s, I think. So, him being a general is like... I mean, I guess it's not, like, too crazy because Han, you know, was a general. They made him a general. They made Lando a general. And they weren't, you know, they weren't that much older or around the same age. But still, like... He seems very, very young to be the commander of this base. But it's going to be neat to see, like, you know, more about his character and who he actually is. you know, they're all, Adam Driver is pretty young too, so. But it was really cool to actually see them. And Gwendolyn Christie looked so excited to be there. And Chris Hardwick's like, "You're on Game of Thrones." And she goes, "Game of what?" So even she is starstruck by Star Wars.
And that brings us out, I guess, to the last three people they brought out to the panel.
They brought in more people?
They did bring in more people. First up, Carrie Fisher.
Ugh, who's amazing.
I know.
Yeah, I mean, can we talk about more like the way she looked? Because like, I just, that video, I don't know what it is about that video, but like, I've been worried about the older cast, you know. I've been worried about like how they're going to fit in with the newer cast, you know. I don't want them to focus on them too much, because then it'll be like the old expanded universe where there were like 70-year-olds doing crazy stuff. But like, you know, the shot we saw of Han in the teaser was awesome. So that kind of made me feel a little better. But we still hadn't seen Leia or Luke. And, you know, I trust in Mark Hamill to be able to play anything because of, you know, he's the Joker and he's crazy. But like, Carrie Fisher, and it's not that she's a bad actress. She's a good actress, but she's, that's not what I think of her as anymore, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, because she's a writer. She's a comic. You know, I think of her more as like a writer and, you know, doing these one woman shows and less of a actress, you know. But seeing her within the Leia costume again was like, yes, she is.
She's got it.
Yeah. Like, she will not put up with your shit, just like Leia. And that's all she needs to do for this movie.
She is still totally badass in charge.
Yeah. And if that's all she has to do, then I'll love it. So, yeah, that made me feel a lot better and won me over. She looks so cool. And she's just, she's hilarious. I love her. I'll stop talking about Leia now.
Leia's our queen. Next out, Mark Hamill.
I've seen him so many times, but every time it just makes me happy. He's got the beard back. Beard watch is back. I don't know what this means or what it's for.
You know he wouldn't be growing that unless he had to.
Yeah, because he doesn't like it. But I want to know what it's for. Episode 8? I don't know.
Probably.
He's like, it takes me a really long time to grow a beard.
I gotta start now.
Yeah. But I just love listening to him talk about like the fans and...
He's always got the greatest stories.
Yeah.
Mark Hamill is such a good storyteller.
Yeah.
And if you can ever go to a panel in which he's there, just sit back and enjoy him going just off the rails with a story.
Yeah. But he doesn't know, he gets it. Not necessarily he gets Star Wars, but he gets being a fan. And
he talked about going to conventions in 1976.
Yeah.
To build up some hype for A New Hope.
Yeah.
And yeah, he gets it, and it's awesome. That's kind of a running theme with this whole panel. They get it.
Yeah.
Let's see, do you want to hit up this bullet point or move on to...
Well, we have to talk about who came out next.
Well, yeah, I was just wondering if you wanted to talk about this first.
No, I'll save that for later.
So, there was one last guest. Harrison Ford showed up and brought the house down.
Yes. Everyone was, you know, speculating that... He would be there, and there was one chair left, and he was indeed there. And he actually looked happy to be there, which was shocking.
That must have killed him off then.
Aw, don't say that.
Oh.
Why are you going to make me sad?
He was genuinely happy to be there and got a little choked up talking to the audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And oh god, it was so good to see him, Mark, and Carrie.
I know. I was trying to think of when the last time they were all together in public. I'm thinking it was like
that AFV.
That's what I'm thinking.
For George Lucas,
the AFI when they honored George Lucas with a lifetime achievement. I think that was the last.
That's the last time I can remember.
Yeah, which is that was 10 years ago because that was when Revenge of the Sith came out, which is crazy. And yeah, so I mean. I'm not the hugest Harrison Ford fan. I'm not the biggest Han Solo fan. Him being there was just more, for me, not, oh, it's Harrison Ford. It's them all three together
it's
again.
The three of them. They're on stage. They're back together.
Yeah. It's like the whole, like, the Chewie were home. Like, you know, for me, it wasn't that, oh my God, it's Han Solo. It's, holy crap, there's a new Star Wars movie and Han and Leia and all of them are in it.
Holy crap, yeah. This is happening.
Yeah.
It's happening.
And so, they, like, to see them come out and interact, that was the best part of the panel.
Yes.
Them all interacting.
Yeah,
and, like,
absolutely.
He came out, he gave Mark a hug, he leaned over and gave Carrie a kiss. It's like, oh my God, Han and Leia are kissing. And they were just ribbing each other. You know, it was just great to see them all together. And there's a really, really, really great shot, IO9 just tweeted it, of Mark Harrison and Carrie holding up the lightsabers at the concert, and Carrie's taking a selfie. it's so cool. And I mean, it's a bummer that Harrison Ford wasn't at Celebration. You know, I'm assuming that if he hadn't gotten injured, he would have been there. Crossing my fingers for the next ones that they can bring him out, because I mean, him showing up at Comic-Con was amazing. Imagine what him showing up at Celebration would be like. I can't even imagine it.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be insane.
Even that would make me cry. So yeah, they had a lot of, you know, they were talking about, you know, what they thought was going to happen with their characters, what it was like being back in the roles, you know, and Harrison said it should have been ridiculous, but it wasn't. He said, you know, the script was really good and he was really pleased with it.
And no one is more critical of a Star Wars script than Harrison Ford.
Yeah. They were talking, they started quoting lines.
Oh my God.
Mark Hamill said something about, I'm just glad I didn't have to go to Tashi Station to pick up some more power converters.
I'm going to have to cap that.
Yes, you are. You are. and then Carrie started quoting from her monologue, and Harrison said something. Yeah, it was just great. I mean, and this is just from us watching a live blog and tweets, and then watching the panel on YouTube, which is why when people talk about, oh, they're not making things exclusive to conventions, and oh, they shouldn't live stream because then it's not special to be there. Yes, it is. They're not going to lose attendance. I mean, this is how we feel.
Hall H would have been packed to the gills,
yeah,
whether or not they live streamed.
I mean, this is us being this excited from
over
watching
freaking
it at home.
Tweets.
And watching it at home. Imagine if we were there. Like, it would just be that much better.
You don't lose anything special.
And plus, there are some people who don't necessarily want to go to a convention and be around that many people. So it's nice that they can, or who can't afford to.
Mm-hmm.
So it's nice that they can also participate, because the whole point of it is to, you know, make people want to go see Star Wars.
Absolutely.
So.
So, yeah, San Diego Comic-Con, your no live streaming policy sucks.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know. I mean, I don't even know if they can, because their Wi-Fi, apparently everyone's Wi-Fi
don't
was
need,
crap.
You don't need Wi-Fi. You get Verizon to sponsor it. You run a fiber trunk out there, and it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. That's, fix that, San Diego Comic-Con. You wrote down a note here of something Mark said.
Yeah.
That I think you want to discuss.
Yeah. So there was an Entertainment Weekly article. I think, I don't know if it'll be in the show notes or I put it in the post that I put up this morning. But it was basically, you know, a live blog of what was going on. And they talked about, they asked them, you know, what they thought was going to happen to their characters. And so I'm reading from the article. Where did the actors think their characters would have ended up before The Force Awakens told them? Hamill says he expected Luke to live like Obi-Wan Kenobi off on in some igloo in the desert with no human contacts, just droid. He says he imagines Luke was distressed to learn the only woman he fell for turned out to be his sister. That must have been quite the traumatic experience, you know, because we were both after her. Ford rubbed his shoulder and rolled his eyes. How many times do I have to say I'm sorry? Which is hilarious. But, okay, first of all, we know that Luke had, you know, fallen for other people because of Heir of the Jedi, and I'm assuming if there's more books and stuff that come out in between them, he will have some romantic interest because that's what they do to him.
They screw with his emotions.
Yes.
Because they're mean like that.
But, so Mark Hamill says he expected Luke to be a hermit like Obi-Wan. Expected, past tense, which leads me to believe that he was incorrect about that assumption, which leads me to believe that all the hermit Luke rumors are stupid and wrong and incorrect, and I'm going to hold on to this with dear life until December 18th because it's all I have and it's all they'll give me. So yeah, I'm clinging on to the past tense and what he expected to happen and was then proven wrong.
Excellent.
Sorry.
Not so sorry. That essentially wrapped up the panel, except for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Chris Hardwick looks over at J.J. Abrams and said, you know, we probably shouldn't end a Star Wars panel just on that note. You got anything else, J.J.? And then J.J. says, who likes Star Wars music? Yay, cheers from the audience. How'd you like to go to a Star Wars concert? A live Star Wars concert.
Right now.
They took them to a live Star Wars concert.
They walked there. They walked to
an outdoor stage.
Yeah.
Where there was a live Star Wars concert. Everybody got lightsabers. And then it ended with fireworks.
Yeah.
The city of San Diego let them do that.
I know.
Lucasfilm pulled out all the stops. And what an amazing evening for Star Wars fans.
I know.
Even those who couldn't be there.
Yeah. I was watching on Periscope. I was watching tweets and stuff, and it was amazing.
So that was the panel, and it was amazing, and I'm screwed. My expectations are no longer in check.
I know, right?
I'm so screwed. It's in good hands, folks.
It is.
They get it.
They do.
They love it as much as we do.
Yeah, and they do. I don't know, like, I can just sit here and flail all day, but I don't know what else to say.
I'm having a hard time putting it into words.
I know.
The joy and excitement I'm feeling right now.
That behind the scenes video, like, the music, what they showed, like.
I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm getting less and less frightened.
Yeah.
As time goes on and they keep showing us more stuff and talking more about it.
It's like every time they have a thing like, okay, so the first teaser came out. It didn't really show us much, but it got people really excited. And then you had a few more months for people to, like, sort of check their expectations and wonder what was going to happen and be sad about the books or whatever and all this stuff. And then they have Celebration panel. And the second teaser, and everyone is like, all right, I'm in, you know, if they weren't already before. It's like everyone was just saying how amazing everything was, how fabulous it was. And then you got a few more months and, you know, that sort of wears off and people are antsy for new info. We got the pictures from Vanity Fair, and then we got, you know, and then now we have this. And so it's like it's such a slow burn that they're giving us, and I really love it. And, you know, everyone can watch movies the way they want. If you want spoilers, you know, whatever. But I'm so glad. I want to know more, but at the same time, I don't, because I love being teased and, like, being like, all right, here's some information. And you're like, oh my God, you told me a character's name. And, like, I don't know what I'm going to actually do when it's time to actually see the entire movie. Yeah.
I'm so happy.
I know.
I'm so happy. I'm so excited. And, okay. The next thing we may get any additional Star Wars news at is probably going to be D23. That may not be film related. It's probably going to be more parks related.
Well, they do have a film. They do have a Lucasfilm.
They do have a Lucasfilm.
I don't know if it's Lucasfilm. I think it's film in general. But I'm sure they'll at least talk about it if they don't have anything new. Yeah. I mean, they don't have like a panel schedule yet, so it's hard to say. But our friend Jay, who is Admiral Jello on Twitter, will be there. So he'll be live tweeting stuff. And
we may have to co-opt his services after D23.
Yeah.
Sorry, 11:38. So D23 is going to be the next big one where we might find something out. I expect it's going to be more parks focused if we get any news, but there might be something here or there in regards to the film.
Yeah, and I'm just torn because I'm not expecting to see anything with Luke before the movie because, you know, that's what they'll do to me. They'll make me wait. But then I'm also like, do I want to know? Like, or do I just want to have that surprise in the movie? You know, I'm torn. I mean, not that if they show a picture, I'm definitely gonna look at it because I'm not dumb. But yeah.
And then after that, it'll probably be New York Comic Con in October.
Yeah. Yes. So they will probably have a big panel there.
Yeah.
Because New York Comic Con's pretty big. I would imagine they'll have something there.
We've gotten some big publishing news in years past from New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
So it's a possibility there. Possibility we'll also get some more film stuff. So that's what you can look out for. Yeah. And of course, there's also Force Friday, September 4th, in which
everything comes out and we'll be at Dragon Con.
Everything
crying.
Comes out, and I've just got this vision in my mind's eye of they're going to release some video which is going to blow our brains out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we wrap there?
I guess so. I can go watch the behind the scenes video a few more times and maybe actually do some adult things.
Adult things are overrated.
I was up until after 1 o'clock last night.
I think you need a nap.
And then I woke up and I saw, they posted the whole panel. I'm glad I went to bed right before that happened or I would still be awake.
You need a nap.
Yeah.
All right, let's wrap up there. This episode of Tashi Station Radio has been brought to you in part by Her Universe and Audible.com. Click the links on the site. Help us keep the lights on here. On Twitter, you can find us with the handles Tashi_Station. That's the official show account. You can find Nancy with Nancy Pants. That's Nancy with an I. You can find me with Lane Winry, LaneWinree. On Facebook, we're the Tashi Station Network. We're available on the iTunes Store and Stitcher. If you like what you hear, please do leave a review. It helps us grow the show. You can find our columns and news at Tashi-Station.net. Oh, one more announcement. Thanks to Pete Morrison over at Rebels Report.
Yes.
Who gave us panel audio from the publishing panel yesterday. That's going to go up on the feed today. So keep an eye out for that. We will catch you all next time. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. This podcast has been brought to you by Majestic Giraffe Productions and is the official podcast of TashiStation.net. All Star Wars names, music, and logos are property of their respective trademark and copyright holders. Tashi Station Radio is not endorsed by Lucasfilm or any division of the company. Now go pick up some power converters.